podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey Troopers, brought to you by bookmakers.com.
Hello, welcome to Full Time Reds. It finished Wolves 0, Liverpool 1. Liverpool into the fourth round of the FA Cup. Fuck me, Kev, we won a game.
Won a game.
That's it. Cans are out and everything because we won a game.
I'm under coffee. It's midweek, mate. I'm under coffee. How's everything all right? Enjoy it?
I did. Listen, after the last couple of games, I've had to.
I was doing boxes at the end.
After watching the last couple of games I've played through, I've enjoyed a can for that. Jesus, West. Honestly, God, that was a. It's nice to get a win.
It was hard earned, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was hard earned. Let's get a couple up here. Anthony Boland said, baby steps, not loads of positives, but at least we didn't like we were going to concede given any given moment. To which he then felt like, which you think of it, is a huge positive.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. Nice. Laura, first clean sheet in 9.
Hey. And silver linings.
Luke saying, I'm off the bed, boys. Just wanted to say, get in there, Reds. You'll never walk alone. 1-0, clean sheet. Well done, lads. Especially the youngsters. Harvey Elliott, you little gem. We'll come to him. Boys took some stick, and to be fair to him, he was very good tonight. But listen, so the reward for this is a nice easy away game at Brighton.
Ah, yeah. we'll worry about that down the line. Tonight is one you enjoy, man. For me, there was so much. I love tonight for so many different reasons.
You love grinding. It was ugly. You love a grinding win, don't we?
Yeah, it was ugly. It was horrible. It was pure shithousery. It was exactly what an away cup tie should be. We rotated the squad. There was 8 changes, and they all stood up. You know, we gave them absolutely nothing. Anything that Wolves were going to get out of tonight, they were going to have to work for. And it was to a man. They come off the pitch tonight and they suffered, and they deserve. They deserve the win. They deserve to go through.
You could see with some of the legs were proper gone. But look, it'll do them good long term because it gets them into the legs. 100%. Dara saying, easy shift for the post-match crew tonight, isn't it? It's a nice novelty.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to come on in 3 minutes in and we've still got a smile on our faces.
It is a challenge for us. When was the last time you and me together we saw a win?
Shit.
Well, it wasn't Brighton.
Leicester?
Leicester? Oh, yeah, Leicester. That didn't feel like a win, though.
That didn't feel like a win.
I think we did Villa, to be fair. Villa was actually quite a good win.
Villa was good. Yeah, Villa good was good. Well, it was good. It was good by current standards. But
yeah, it was a grinding win, which I can do that. Ratface is saying, Naby doing 95 minutes. We'll see him now for a month. I must admit, Yumi didn't think he'd last the full game. Not because he was playing badly, just because he hasn't played much because of his injury issue. But that's got to do in the world. He's got to get 90 minutes into his legs. And
yeah.
I thought he did well. You know, he's sort of backed up the cameos that we've been seeing.
Yeah, I was really impressed with him. He worked hard. I was worried about him on about 65 minutes. He started to look a little bit leggy. He wasn't quite getting to the ball as he was earlier in the game, but he got a second wind and he went again. You know, delighted for him.
Roy says this is therapy for all the post-match show contributors listening on Saturday.
We deserve this.
Oh, I'll tell you what. That Saturday was a hard grind, that one, Kev.
I was on the other side of it, and I actually felt your pain. I felt your pain.
Well, to be honest, it's really hard when you do a poster shot. You go, can you say, I can't say anything positive. When your positive is, well, it was only 3. That's literally where it goes to. Claire D saying, what a game, geez, how nice to see us press again. Yeah, it was intelligent pressing as well.
Well, let's go back to the start. We had the lineup, right?
Yeah, to tick along the ball.
How did you feel when it came out? Because I was surprised at the amount of changes, especially seeing Kelleher starting. Wasn't surprised to see Milner start. Costas, no problem. Stefan, no real problem there either. But it was the front players. First start in ages for Carvalho after Klopp was asked about him yesterday.
Which in hindsight, is probably quite telling. Because maybe he thought, I've had him earmarked for this.
Yeah. Gakpo in on the 9. And Elliot played... Well, on the team sheet, Elliot was right wing, not in game. In game, we had two clear philosophies for me. It was when you attack with numbers, you quick passing, intricate movement, take a risk, have a flick around the corner, you know, look for runners. But off the ball, it was 4-1, 4-1. The amount of times I was texting you, look, when you look at the screen, all 11 players were in shot. They were all together.
It was really compact.
They were just they were saying to Wolves, come and break us down. If you if we nick it, we're gone.
I mean, Bogs is saying here, Harvey Elliott, right attacker, better than in the midfield three. But second half, he was left midfield. As soon as he went left centre mid. And he played really well there, because the easier option would have been drop Jones left mid. But to be fair to Jones, he looked really good left wing.
And the other thing that you had in the back pairing, bear in mind you're up against a seasoned pro in Raul Jimenez, Ibu and Joe Gomez. With what you had really is pace, and more pace, because Raul Jimenez might be the one you look for knock-ons and stuff, but it's the pace that Wolves had that were going to run in at you. Yeah. They were well able to cope with that.
The other thing I do like is Yumi Sokwa, I think, is the fouls. In a way, we were actually being a bit nasty, a bit of a nasty bastard team to play. And the tone was set in terms of Joe Gomez, where he follows Jimenez, halfway line, and you think, I'm getting the edit, I'm going through you regardless. Gives away the free kick, goes up. But it was setting the tone to go, this is the game we're going to play. We're not going to be a pushover, which, to be honest, we've been a pushover for half of the season. So, not horrible tackles, though, but it was just like,
snidey.
Thou shalt not pass, the City fouls.
It was the right kind of shithousery that you want to see. It wasn't the kind of stuff that's going to get you booked, but it was the niggly kind of stuff that...
and it was taking it in turns, wasn't it?
And Thiago it was winding the fans up.
Yeah. So Thiago get you, and they go, oh, I've got to book Thiago next time. Carvalho, they think, well, you might be there. The Jetic, and it goes back to. So the ref, after a while, is going, like, well, I can't book you because it's your first foul. It's that silly thing refs do with first fouls.
And the irony was, the first player to get booked was Adama Traore.
he probably took down Tsimikas,
His head was fried, wasn't he? Yeah, Adama is one of these players. He's a unique type of player that if you're playing against him, you either got to stand off him and wait for him to cross, or stand right up on him and just stop him from turning and getting a run on you. I think Tsimikas was he had a thankless job, because there was no cover coming to help him. It was all 1v1 defending, and sometimes it's by the seat of your pants. You'll win some, you lose some. But the other side of it is, on the inside of Tsimikas, Joe Gomez was there to mop up. And Joe Gomez has the recovery pace to just stick with Adama Traore and clean up after it.
Claire D saying Joe Gomez was outstanding tonight. Kevin Walson, Gomez was good tonight. He was good tonight.
He was very good tonight.
The challenge for Gomez is trying to keep that level consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so a few saying they quite like Harvey Elliott, second half left mid with Jones in front of him. It works. I mean, Jones... that was his position when he was in the under 23s, was left of the front three, but he can also play midfield. So,
but a little bit of housekeeping as well. Don't forget to hit the like button, whatever you do.
More importantly, we're sponsored by bookmakers.com. So we're so excited about a win because we're having ages. Yeah, we are sponsored by bookmakers. They're not bookmakers, but they help you find the best odds. So, if you do gamble, try bookmakers.com, but gamble responsibly. If you're not into gambling, though, watch their YouTube channel, because Gav does a show on there once a week where I think it's a Spurs fan and a United fan just talk about the week's games coming up, which is really good. And Yumi use their site for statistics, when we're doing like the Friday shows, we're trying to see who's in form, who's not in form.
I'm using it at the minute for my fantasy football, and for once it actually helped me out a lot.
Well, you got double points.
Football actually doubled up this week. It was really good. Really,
you got to 12 points, didn't you?
Yeah, 15.
Don't be lying now.
Well, listen,
let's be honest though, the first 5 minutes was a bit ropey,
yeah.
And you were thinking, like, this is fucking Brighton, but this is just looks like Brighton all over again, doesn't it? Oh, but you've got to expect an away game, you're gonna have to just
ride it out.
The only good thing was the chances they were getting, they were half chances from like. It's the cross that's just over the head, or it's from an angle that you'd expect Kelleher or someone to cover. But you were thinking, oh, we could be in for a long night tonight. And then Harvey Elliott, my friend, talk me through it. Can you remember the goal? Because I know what you like with goals.
Harvey Elliott is one of these players. He gets a lot of stick for not being quick. He's very quick with the ball at his feet. And when you ever you watch him dribble, the ball stays so close to his feet that if a defender tries to step to him, he's gonna go around him in no time. You know, so they drop off and they drop off and they drop off. And apparently in his post-match interview, Milner was roaring at him to hit it. And it was just, it lined up perfectly. And he just twatted it. But Jose Sa's positioning was awful. So whether it was the case that he saw him off, he saw his positioning and thought, why not? You know, and he may as well.
Because you've got to think, what's the keeper doing? All I can think the keeper's thinking, and this is the only thing I can think is, because Gakpo's running through, he's thinking,
which he's going to pay him in.
Probably more of a Liverpool move is, he's going to try and slide him through, so I'm going to come out quick to, you know, give him no angle to shoot from. And Elliot's took the initiative of, oh, fuck, I'm going to go for it. And the keeper's nowhere near it. Great finish. Look, he's a lad who's took a bit of stick at the moment. You know, this is, I would say this season will be the biggest learning curve of his career, and long term will probably do him some real good, because I think that's what you need sometimes. You know, a young players, it's never linear. They don't just all shoot up brilliant. You know, it's ups and downs. It's how you cope with the dips. You know,
and the other side of it as well was off the ball. We were, I wouldn't say we were. I think we were rigid to a point. They pressed when they needed to press. The pressing in the first half was organized. You could see where they wanted to direct Wolves into areas where, you know, from the outside to the middle and press again there. And we got it right four or five times. But when it wasn't on, they broke back and they went 4-1-4-1 and just...
I think maybe that was the plan for Brighton. They just did not execute any of that nonsense. But you would assume, looking back, because it's sort of similar types of systems...
Yeah, I think the difference
maybe that is the plan going forward. Yeah. Just Brighton was probably the worst side to try and execute.
João Moutinho and Ruben Neves are a lot of things.
They're not quick.
They're very good on the ball. If you let them turn, they can pick their head up. They can pick a pass. We saw that in the second half. But intricate play in their own half is not their game, and they can be got at. Try that with Brighton with Caicedo, McAllister, and they'll just pass through you for fun.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to pick your bunnies.
Yeah. I know we're talking about the game, but let's talk about Ruben Neves, because it's another player that's been linked. It's been linked by the Mirror in the last 3 or 4 days as a player. He's a funny one to be linked with, because on the ball, he's very good. Good for set pieces, shot from distance, but he has the same problem that Fabinho, Henderson and Thiago have. He's not quick. He's not the most athletic and mobile. And look, that's just, you can't help it. That's just, you are what you are. But that's my only concern. Why would Liverpool be looking at another player who isn't very athletic and isn't very mobile? Because that's what the team's been crying out for. And we saw today, you know, Naby's got more mobility than most, which helps out. Bajetic is more of more metronomical, and I think it helps. You know, it's pass, it's simple, you know, and it keeps things ticking over. So it helps. It was a nice blend tonight rather than being less samey. So, because we saw a couple of times Neves getting caught on the ball, and you're thinking against, you know, the better sides, that's the sort of thing you'd be expecting.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I mean, at this time of year, you're going to get, look, I think Liverpool are going to get linked with every midfielder with a pulse whose contract is up in
I've heard you're moving next week.
Not quite. I'm kind of a bit
got a nifty left foot. Bit of a nifty left foot, I've heard.
No, my left foot is for standing on. Let's not kid ourselves there. No, seriously, look, I think Ruben Neves is a really good footballer. I think his passing range is outstanding. But you have to have the right players around him to get the best out of him. Would he be someone I'd like to see in our squad? Not really. And I like him. And I really do like him. I agree with you. I think he's not as mobile and as
a
aggressive as a Nunes. Nunes is a better ball carrier. And he's quicker.
He's got more mobility about him.
Yeah. But that's not to take away from him. I think Ruben Neves is an exceptional footballer. And he's got one of the best set pieces in the league, and he's probably one of the best passers in the league.
Was your heart in your mouth on 95 minutes and when they give that free kick. It was like, I was like, it's the most non. I was like, oh fuck me. It's not, it's like a deliberate, it's not a deliberate handball. It bounced up. It's like, oh, and you just, even if there's the can't help that little voice here going, I've seen this story before. This is going to be penalties now. And it's, he's going to, because Neves does, he's going to bang the top corner. And he tried to do some quite a floaty free kick. I was like, it's the most bizarre free kick I've ever seen. Because I thought, he'd do, as someone said, like a James Ward-Prowse, just step up and crack it. Because to be fair, he can, and he does it really well.
I mean, look, I'll go back. I'll ask you about the other midfielder goes on there. In Stefan Bacicic.
Excellent.
I'm getting better, see. For 18 years of age, you wouldn't want to be blocking his pathway into the first team for me. I think he'll get more minutes between now and the end of the season. But how do you think he got on first and foremost? And how do you think he should be used between now and, say, the next 6 weeks?
I think he should be used in, I'd play him away at Brighton. That's his next test. I mean, to be fair to the Lions game, I thought he struggled at City, but to be fair, a lot of people struggle away at City. Who fucking doesn't? But he's getting better at being a little bit quicker with the ball. But really mature. You forget he's 18, you know, he's passing the ball is really nice. I think he gives a nice balance to the side. And you can see he's built to be a modern number six style. The way Liverpool are going to go to this 4-2-3-1 going further, him as in a double pivot works nicely. And I like the fact that not all his passing is just square and safe, which is very easy to do. And we've seen plenty of number six that do that. You know, if there is an attacking pass on, he looks for it. That's what I kind of like. The way you know he's someone like him, Ben Doak similar, you know they're really good players when the likes of a Thiago, Salah's, just give him the ball all the time. I'll give it to him. Whereas some of your players, they try to protect them, you know, give it to them easy. But like, no, if you're the option, doesn't matter if you've got a man in you, I expect you to turn out and play it. And, you know, Thiago was popping it off to him all the time, like he was Fabinho or anybody else. And second half, Salah was doing that with
Ben Doak.
Bear saying, look, guys, you don't need to write in capitals. Do you know what I mean? Just write normally, you know. He said Bajet was such a, because he was struggling. He struggled with crap. I don't think he was struggling to ask it. I think he was going to stay the full game.
I know. I think Bear said when Batatius was substituted, Liverpool struggled. At the time, it was 15 minutes to go and they were throwing the kitchen sink at it. It was a different type of game.
I think, unfortunately, if he hadn't got cramp, I think he'd have stayed on. Cater would have been. Not because Cater played poorly or anything like that. It was more because Cater just looked tired. To be fair to Cater, he got his second win probably from 70 onwards and he cruised through.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, overall, tonight wasn't, attacking-wise, was non-existent. Looked at the stats before the game tonight, it was 0.16 was our XG. You know, a fantastic bit of quality for the goal. But hard graft, away cup performance.
But the away game at Wolves last year was like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean
it was a Rigi 96th-minute winner, you know. Yeah. And literally, that's all we created all game, so... What was nice for Liverpool is it's a rarity. We went in front. We didn't concede first, which I was already on a winner going to the hell.
Yeah.
Not concede first. And to be fair, for most of the game, while they had quite a lot of the ball, there weren't too many of you thinking, fuck me, they're going to score here, they're going to do this. You know, they had the really good cross, which Traore put in, which deflects off Gomez's head. He does well go to put pressure on the attacker because... It looked a goal all day. You thought, I've seen this goal before, you know, because the keeper's been moved over. Gomez, after being moved to right back, you know, did really well with that. And other than that, there's like half chances where they fell, but bodies on the line, blocking things, you know, stuff we haven't been doing.
Yeah.
But again, it's one game. You know, let's not get carried away. This is not Liverpool are back, and you know, it's Wolves who are in the bottom three. So are they in the bottom three? They might be out of the bottom three.
Out of it, but. Look, I'm sorry. Wolves are in a false position. They're a good side,
but they've struggled. They're a side.
They're struggling.
You would expect Liverpool to beat, but on the current form, we all. I'm not gonna lie. You and me both messed you, and I said like, "Well, don't fancy us tonight." Matt saying we're back, baby. Okay, Matt.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean to be fair, Matt's lucky he's going to be let back in the podcast after his nonsense on Saturday, which was let's sell Alisson and keep Keller just for the home just to raise some money and keep the homegrown quota. Outrageous behavior.
Yeah, but look, I mean, overall for me, I was impressed with the fight, the bottle, the shape, the fact that it was, there was clear instruction. It was, at all costs, you give him nothing. Kelleher didn't really have to make a save in anger. The couple of things that he was asked to do, he did really well. There was the one in the second half where the cross came in, and it was deflected up in the air, and he just come and cleaned. He just come and cleaned out.
Yeah, I think it was it Phillips? He flicked it. He kept breaking his head to, but he flicked it right in the air. You see two Wolves players closing anything in. He's here.
Yeah.
And he's so calm, just like, bang, got it, relax. He's so calm. Yeah. You know, which is why, unfortunately, we think he's probably going to want to go in summer, and I get why, because he wants to play regular football. He's too good a player not to want to play regular football.
Yeah.
But it's the catch-22 for us, because for years, I mean, Kev, you and me have seen for years, we've had some atrocious backup keepers. Charles Tanjay, you know, I've literally seen Brad Jones, the man who literally dived out the way of the ball at Old Trafford. You know, we've had horrific number twos. And sadly, now we've got an amazing number two, who's probably good enough to be number one. But fortunately, the guy we've got at number one is just so good as well.
I mean, the thing is, this is what you have an academy for. You know, you produce these players, and he's not good enough to be our number one. All right, and as much as I love the guy, he's not good enough to be our number one. So if you can't be our number one, you produce a player that you can sell for real money, you know, and you can use that money to fund other things. He deserves to go and play first team football. He's very good with the ball. He's a very good modern day keeper.
I hope we sell. I hope if we do sell him, there's some sort of buyback clause or a first refusal agreement, just in case.
Yeah. I mean, some of the other young fella. I mean, Carvalho, I thought, was very good, especially in the first half. Ball at his feet, did well, worked hard. You could tell it was his first start. It was his first start in a long time, really. You know, the last game against City.
Yeah,
is that the last time he played?
It is. Yeah. My opinion of Carvalho is, I think he's a talented youngster. And look, I think he hopefully will be a really good player for Liverpool. I still think, partly, I think he's still quite slight. I think you can pull him off the ball. I still think he's a bit slow on the ball and gets caught. But I think I was saying to you in the first half, I think it's the thing he'll learn, because he's a young player, he'll learn. Elliot's been caught with this before, so is Jones. They all get caught with this. They get caught with a more loose ball, but he hasn't quite got the bite yet to go, I've lost it, and he tries to win it back. He kind of looks a bit forlorn, like, oh, now I've lost it again. And doesn't just go, I've lost it, and crack back on. He left it to Thiago Pochettino to bail him out.
There was a couple of other times in the first half with his pressing that he did it really well.
Yeah, he pressed Neves really well and got a couple of free kicks off him. So that's what I mean. It's a thing.
It's a work in progress, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, if you say Carvalho struggles because doesn't have pace, but when he played for Fulham, he played as a 10, or he played left wing. So
yeah,
and you don't have to have pace to be a winger. It helps, but you just got to be,
I think if you're a quick, clever. I think if you've got quick feet and quick brain, and you can tell some of the link. I mean, I'll move on to someone else. Cody Gakpo tonight in the 9-3rd game, and playing with brand new players again.
I feel sorry for him because he's a different front three every time, and he's quite silent, struggling. But again, Gakpo, he's not the quickest. He just isn't. But he's built on clever movement. He's built on, anticipation. Look, to be honest, he was quiet for most of the night, but to be fair, he didn't have anything to feed on. But what I liked was, when he saw an opportunity to crack it, he will do. And we've been very shot shy from distance when we needed it sometimes, but his held-up play was really good.
He held up. His link-up play was good, considering it was players that he hadn't played with.
What you're saying is, he like, could he be moulded into a Bobby-esque style option? Potentially.
I still firmly believe that Gakpo was bought for depth, long-term. Uh-huh. And going forward into future seasons, you're going to have front three with Diaz, Nunes, Salah.
And your
options off the bench or in games, different games, is going to be Gakpo and Jota.
Potentially Bobby Firmino, because Neil Jones, a couple of quotes are coming through from here. Klopp asked about Firmino contract. I want to keep him at the club, of course. So there is a rumour that he's been offered a short-term contract, two-year contract. But which I know some people have already seen in social media, I've gone berserk over it, saying sentimental or that. I think we're keeping him as a sixth choice striker. We're not saying he's gonna, we're not keeping him to make him the one. We've already brought in, you know, people who've overtaken him in the squad. He's just played, he's also played a lot this year because other lads have, like Diaz and Jota, have been out injured.
Yeah. And he's done also, well. He's had a good season.
There's two reports. James Pearce saying Darwin is expected back at training tomorrow or Thursday. Should be in contention for the Chelsea game, which is a big positive. I mean, he was saying, I think they were saying, Klopp was saying in his press conference, he was really close for tonight. So it's good to know that it was only a niggle. It's only costing two games. And listen, fast forward, they're always going to pick up, they will always pick up a hamstring niggle. It's kind of par for the course, you know. Just unfortunate because we've got so many attackers out, people get worried about
it. The thing is, as much as people hate it, going into next season, we're going to need a few senior players around the place. We're already losing. We're going to be losing a few senior players.
Yeah.
So having five or six 30-somethings around the club is not a problem. And Bobby Firmino would be the oldest of all the forwards and the most experienced. And still one that you look at and you think, you never had pace to begin with. So his game is all about ball to feet, quick movement, quick 1-2, touching in. His reading of where to be in the boxes is improved with time. So I've no problem with him. If you're sticking him in for games here and there to rest legs, that's ideal. That's what you want. You need depth.
This is where we talk about evolving, and depth is where your first teamers, which for me it was big, becomes your squad options. Which we've done with the attack, we've done with the defence, because let's say so Joe Gomez is now fourth choice centre back.
Yeah.
He was first choice 2-3 years ago. That's just the way the squad's evolved, because Ibu has come in, you know, Matip's, you know, done really well. That's kind of what he wants. But that's the criticism which he himself will have it with midfield, is we still haven't quite evolved. And look, people have got to lose the shit, because I've seen a lot of Thiago and Keita should start the Chelsea game. I think Thiago will. Because he does.
Yeah, Thiago probably will.
The Keita question is, it's how he reacts after doing his first 90 in, well, since last season. He hasn't done a 90 since last season, I don't think. So if he reacts well, you'd start Thiago and Keita, and then it'd be one of Fabinho or Henderson, I think, will come in against Chelsea. Then Bajetic will start Brighton the following week.
Yeah.
I think that's where you're going
to. I mean, as much as I was impressed by Stefan tonight, he's 18.
You've got to drip feed him in, haven't you?
Yeah. You've got to be realistic as well. You know, if you're going to be throwing him into a Premier League game, at home ideal, not at home against Chelsea. And I don't care if Chelsea are 10th or wherever. You know, they're going to be hounding in midfield. And yeah, it'd be an acid test. It would be a true acid test. But if it goes sideways... But, you're setting the kid up for a fall. There's no
but
need.
But to be fair, and we've seen Klopp do this a couple of times now. He did it away at Villa. He's done it in a couple of Champions League games. 10-15 minutes to go. It's 2-1. You throw a Jesse on to see the game out. You're not going.
That's what he's learning.
You're not worried about it. You're going like, well, we've seen him do this a couple of times. He's got, no, look, he, at some point, I guarantee at some point, he's going to do something stupid and balls up, which might cost us a goal. It could cost us points.
Yeah.
He's 18. It comes with the territory. Unfortunately, for Liverpool this year, we're probably relying on too many 18, 19, 20 year olds, you know, which is unfair on them. But the hope for the positive, the flip side is they develop a lot quicker and learn from it. That's what you kind of want. You're saying Chelsea are on the same points as Liverpool. They are at the moment. Yeah. That's great.
Yep.
Bear saying Jota will be available against Madrid and before.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Well, he'd need to be available before then if he's going to be in contention.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
They asked for Jota to be back, and I think. He said, "Will Jota be available for Madrid?" And I think Klopp, he will be. So that would assume he's going to be back a little bit before then.
Yeah, and it was nice to see the picture, the video. I mean, look, the club has a very, very, very good social media team. It was nice to see the pictures of Luis Diaz back in some kind of indoor training.
So you're here saying, "Kev, I don't care." A bit harsh. I would rather have Bajetic than the corpse of Fabinho and Henderson. Game, bit disrespectful. Keep going. Sorry, why would you want to see them again? They've shown nothing all season. Again, that this is the hyperbole of the world we live in. You can't say they haven't shown anything all season. You want Fabinho? Look at the 1-0 win against City at home. Fabinho was fabulous. You know, so they haven't shown it consistently. That's fine. And Kev, you and me have said for a little while, it should have probably at the moment only be one of them playing. And you rotate the two in. The problem is we're playing them both because at the moment, no one stepped up. But I guarantee you, we start with Jetic, we don't win, everyone kicks off then going, this is not just starting a kid.
Mate, you know what I mean? the guy went off tonight because his calves were killing him.
You got cramp?
No. Yeah, he went off with cramp. And no surprise, that's tonight was probably the most work he's have done on a football pitch
ever. And Chelsea will push you hard in the walls, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm all for seeing young players, but pick your bunnies. Yeah. There's certain games that you've got to play them. But
and listen, for Bajetic, playing against McAllister and Caicedo, that's a great challenge for him. That's a hell of a challenge. I mean, listen, it's a hell of a challenge for most players. So there's the level. That's the next step up level for him, is how do you cope with them two? Because them two are doing brilliantly.
Yeah. And look, I mean, the thing is, how can you put it? I've no problem with a midfield three if one of them is Fabinho, one of them is Thiago or Naby.
Yeah, I think the ideal was always going to be if we had brought someone in, it would have been only two of Henderson, Fabinho, Thiago play, and those three rotate, and then the other midfielder, well, if he was fit, Keita and another, and then the likes of the Alex and Joneses get drip fed in. And
yeah, look, I mean, in fairness, Harvey's were probably the one tonight that if you were going to play the same kind of way again, that 4-1-4-1 off the ball, Harvey in that right mid role with three inside him and, say, Gakpo on the left of that with Salah in the nine, if Darwin isn't quite ready, no problem with that. You know?
I can see Darwin being on the bench, coming off the bench.
Yeah, if he's only coming back to training tomorrow or Thursday, you know, but depending on the kind of niggle it was to begin with, it'd be a tough ass to throw him straight in, but have him as an option off the bench for the second half or for the last 30 minutes or whatever, you know, we'll see. It'd be nice to have an option. Yeah. That's the thing.
John, I get your point. You want to see kids make mistakes, but you say you want to see kids make mistakes who are borderline, rather than, and you're calling two of the players borderline pathetic. Kev, you may have done enough of these posts on that show. How much has Harvey Elliott and Curtis Jones been ridiculed, ripped apart, going, get them outside, tune the mistakes, they're not doing this, they're not doing this shit, get them out. The two kids. And I will say, throw another kid in, we'll say, oh, we don't care if he makes a mistake. Well, you, me, Kev, no, that isn't true, because we do enough of these post-matches. We've seen what happens to
It's not just that. Klopp is not going to throw a kid to the wolves, especially on the back of a few days' rest. It's just not going to happen. So, I mean, look, enjoying for what it was tonight. It was a really good performance by a lot of them.
Let's go for the rest of the side,
though. To a man defensively, we were really good.
Let's go for the rest of the side.
Let's not get carried away, like.
Yeah, let's go for the rest of the side. So, James Milner got 66 minutes.
Yeah.
Did fine. Did well. Right
first
back.
First game back.
I mean, admittedly, you did say, he outpaced one of their fullback. You said, Jesus Christ, James Mills outpaced you best retire. Yeah. But look, he was solid. He did what you want the right back for Liverpool to do. You know, kept it secure, you know, encouraging the young players. It's kind of what you wanted. I would say that's Canati's best game since he's come back from the World Cup.
Yeah.
And he looked like he was struggling probably the last 10 minutes. I think he was feeling it a bit in his groin, but I thought he let well. He looks a lot more comfortable on the right than he does on the left.
Yeah.
100%. Joe Gomez, again, we've all said, did really well.
The problem, I think, with Joe Gomez is he's very up and down at the minute. He's either all in 100% and he's fantastic, or he gets the yips early in the game and he struggles to shake up
a mistake, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, big time. But the other side of it as well, when he went to right back, if he was clever, he could have had a penalty in the second half. He did a lovely bit of skill in their box for a penalty.
First half, wasn't it? He did a little drag back. And he got clipped. And I don't care if that's Gakpo, if that's Salah, if that's any sort of forward, Carvalho, Elliot, they're going down and they probably get a penalty.
Yeah.
But I suppose it's just not a centre back's thought process. No. His thought process is, I want to whip the cross in, because that's what I've been told.
But it's a string to his bow, the fact that in game, you can put him at right back and feel absolutely confident that he will do you a solid, he will do you a proper job, and he'll get up and down the line if need be. So, but yeah, he was good tonight. Costas had
Look, I'll be honest. At times, Costas, he's great. Other times, he frustrates the fucking life out of me. He absolutely frustrates that. He spent the whole second half going, I'm going to prove I can outstrip Traore. Like, just play the fucking ball. Because he nearly got caught out where he's trying to outbounce Traore. I'm going, you don't need to. Just follow the ball. And because let's be honest, we all know Traore's trick. It's good when he's quick, but Traore's very consistent. Everyone knew where he was going to go. But fuck me, Costas, he frustrates the life out of me. But then he'll have a really good game. But today, it was frustrating. Costas today.
He had a good chance. He had a really, it was a really good, well worked chance as well. That was the best thing.
That's our left backs. They can't hit a barn door.
They can't shoot for shit.
That's not Simicast. Robertson can't do it either. If Robertson's in the same position, he puts it over the bar. They just neither left back can shoot.
And the thing is, when Costas came to the club, is the one thing that was lauded about his game was his crossing ability. Though his crossing was a bit off, but then you've got to have confidence in who you're trying to hit with your crosses. There's no real player to hit, so I'll give him a pass
Claire
on it. But
Claire Danes, right? Costas is mad as a box of frogs. He's absolutely crackers. But he's
absolutely nuts.
But do you know what? I still think, look, I don't think he's in Robson's level, but I think he's absolutely a perfect squad left back.
Absolutely.
I'm not being disparaging you. It's not as like when he's on the side, I don't think, oh, for fuck's sake, Jesus Christ. But, you know, which, let's face it, Kev, we've had some horrific backup left backs.
He's absolutely fine.
He's absolutely fine. He's fine for this sort of stuff, you know. And listen,
I ain't saying a word because Courtney Neary will find me and she'll kill me.
Ah, well.
Courtney absolutely loves Costas. If you haven't watched Courtney's stuff, by the way.
Chris, you try and play with Baby Oiler on your... Well, yeah, it depends. That's my OnlyFans page, but we'll talk about that.
You move into midfield.
Keita, let's talk about Keita.
Yeah, Nebby.
He polarizes opinion. He frustrates everyone. And I think a lot of the frustration is he's never fit enough.
Yeah. Ability.
If he plays like that, if he's fit and puts that level of forms in, no one's arsed. Because he broke form when he needed to. He broke a play. He did a brilliant bit of work. Wolves were on the break the second half from a corner. Positioned himself perfectly to kill the attack. So, you know, we've seen this game before where it's just like 4v3 and we're going, oh, fucking hell. You know, he was really good at sweeping up. His link-up play was really good.
Yeah.
He seems to, from about March of April last year, forgotten how to shoot. Because, I think he put a couple of shots out for a corner. But, you know, it is what it is, you know. But, look, I thought Keita was really good today. I did.
I think football ability, I've not got a problem with Naby Keita.
It's fitness.
I mean, Naby's a really good footballer. You can't trust him to save your life. You can't.
Because at the moment, and people say last year he did a lot of games last year, but looking through his Liverpool career, last year at the moment feels like the anomaly, which was he was available a lot last year. But listen, if we're just judging him on tonight, I thought he was really good.
Oh, on tonight, he was really, really good. Really good.
His defensive work was excellent. Bajetic... Excellent. What you want number six to do? You know,
composure for an 18-year-old kid. Composure on the ball, head up, looking for a pass. And if the pass wasn't on, he wasn't afraid to go to turn someone and take the ball out and either go backwards or sideways or take a dribble on anything. Yeah. He looks so comfortable, and he's beyond his years. But I think
back to Jonathan saying. Naby Keita extension, who says no? If I'm perfect, I say no. Because
absolutely, 100%.
We've fell for this trick too many times.
This is shop window Naby. This is shop window Naby we're seeing for the next 6 months.
This is getting really good move probably in the summer. 100%. And, you know, good luck to him. I don't mean that disparagingly, good luck to him. But I think he's done his time at Liverpool. I kind of think it's the right time for everyone to sort of part ways. Because those two played so well, Keita and Bajetic, we got to see more of the best of Thiago, which was he wasn't having to dive on his arse every 2 seconds and do all the donkey work. You know, we're able to see, you know, him look for the attacking pass. And look, attack-wise, we didn't quite function as well as we'd like, but Thiago was further forward than wanted. Not in a 10, but he was able to get forward because he knew behind him was playing really well, you know. Standard Thiago, really good.
Tonight would be one of those nights. I wish there was a pitch microphone that you could hear Thiago, because I reckon on the pitch
he's always talking, isn't he?
I reckon he talks Stefan through that game like a proper older brother would, you know. And I mean, on the ball, he's fantastic. Some of the no-look passes, the feints, the dribbles, the simple passes that you just take for granted were just like running off his feet.
As Lazo says, learning off Thiago is priceless. It is.
Of course it is.
This is the one. This is the one thing, you know, these young players got to do is, you know, Elliot's, Jones's, Bajetic. While you've got a Thiago, you've got to just watch him, learn off him. You know, like you do, like some of the four players, you're saying learn off a Sattler. That's what he's there for, you know. So let's talk about the front three. So Harvey Elliott, well, I say front three. Harvey Elliott was right of a front three slash midfield for 60 minutes, and he went to left midfield. Really good. Defensive work was a lot better today. He's quick, his passing, I thought his interplay was quicker. Nice goal. But I was more impressed with the last 20 minutes playing left midfield when it's backs against the wall, let's be honest. We've got to just grunt this result out. Defensive work was really good. You know, he wasn't overcommitting and he was picking his, he was timing his runs better. And, he, you know, you saw right at the end, we sort of flying for a tackle and, you know, for us to win a throw in, thinking, you've not been doing that for the last three, four, five games. Some of that's confidence, some as a kid. So I was pleased with him. Gakpo, I thought the lad worked hard, thought he held it up well, but we didn't give him anything to work with.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, for me, you look at the forwards for me, right? It was a game of two halves. The first half, we looked threatening on the counter. The link-up play was really good at times. Gakpo, I think, is definitely... The rest of the players have to learn where he runs and where he doesn't run, because so much of the stuff that the midfield and our back line have done before is instinct. You know how Darwin's got to run. You know how Diaz likes it. This is different again. So
we had this with... We had this, forget it because it went quite well in the end, but we had this a little bit with Diaz the 6 months that he was here last season, which was, he was brilliant, but he would do mad runs or pass inside and no one's reading it. I was going like, what is that? What are you doing that for? And that's just players getting used to each other and he's going, this is the way I've done it for Porto, and it's just flicking it in, you know, whereas sadly, unfortunately, because he blew his knee. But this season you were seeing that link-up play was a lot slicker, a lot moving. So I think you hope with Gakpo, you'll see that as well.
I still think he's a left mid, left wing. I don't see him as a nine long-term, but I see him as an option there who can do a job. I think he needs to get this one off his back where he gets his first goal.
Yeah.
You know, I think because like all forwards, when they come to a club, they'll just want to get that first goal.
Just get the win against Chelsea and everyone.
Exactly. You know, it's written for him.
I think we're going to disagree. Carvalho, I thought, showed flashes of we know why we signed him. I don't buy the thing that, oh, he doesn't play left wing and we should always play him as a 10. I read up on him, watched bits of him. I saw bits of Fulham when we linked with him. He plays as 10 or he plays on the left. Now, literally, Fulham are more 4-2-3-1. Yeah. So he can play left. It's partly been a confidence thing. And I still think defensively, he's still getting used to things. But look, he's 20. Yeah.
And so, the other side of it as well, you gotta take into account the fact that you're moving from Fulham, who were in the Championship, to Liverpool. You know, this is huge. You know, the gap, the jump is massive. You know, so it's gonna take time. I don't think we'll see the best of him for a while. But like you said, you're seeing flashes. You're seeing on the ball. I think you're seeing the capabilities of a very, very intricate footballer. Okay. But as he gets older and bigger and physically stronger, I think he'll just get better and better as time goes by.
Cool. So we brought three subs on 66. Big Nat came on for James Milner. So Gomez went to right back. Gomez to find it right back. Got a good block. Nat, solid. Standard Nat performance. Heads everything. Yeah. You know, still think he looks a bit lost when the ball's at his feet. But look, he's your standard meat and potato centre-back. He does what you need him to do. And he's perfect for what you needed for the last 20 minutes, which is head and kick it clear, which is
when they brought Diego Costa on. I thought, here's the ultimate shithouse. Leave Nat on him, he'd be grand.
Yeah, that's what you people said. Oh, Nat will enjoy this. Curtis Jones came on, played left the front three, did what you wanted to do. Unlucky with his chance, really was unlucky with his chance.
That would have been some goal. That would have been some goal.
And again, him and Elliot linked up really nicely on the left. You know, again, did his defensive work fine, so good sub. And then they brought some Egyptian forward. What was his name?
He might be something someday. You never know.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Straight up, honestly, I thought he was. I thought we missed a bit with Gakpo going off that physical,
I think strength. I think we tried with the, I think Liverpool's, I'm assuming Klopp's plan was, look, these are going to come on to us. Like, he just told the lads, do you know what, as soon as you get it, bang, it sounds very ALS, bang it forward, because you're going to have Salah and Doak, who are rapid. Yeah. And just, it was a bit of a game of chicken going, if you balls this up defensively and miss it, Salah and Doak are killing off pace.
Yeah.
It didn't happen today, but, yeah. Also, Salah's only played like 20 minutes, which is ideal for us, because he only got
perfect. I mean, I he didn't do much. Let's put it that way. He didn't do much, and I'd be honest, I'm glad that they didn't get a leveler, because throughout the last 30 minutes, I didn't see how we were going to score. I think it was backs to the walls and defensive solid job, but I didn't think that we looked like scoring at any time, at any point.
And then last season with the game was Fabinho, and we'll talk about the last one in a minute. Fabinho came on. It's fine. I noticed for most of probably the last 10-15 minutes, we almost went to a five at the back, and we almost played Fabinho as a third centre back, which I'm fine with for the last 15-20 minutes.
Yeah,
it was keep it simple, just get it away. And
they had fivers, they were putting 6, 7, 8 forward at one stage. You know, you just gotta, like, in fairness, what you need around that is a voice telling people to mind your areas, you know, mark your space. And that's what they did. And he was instrumental in it, because you could see him barking at people and shouting at people and encouraging everyone on to do it. It's like, I mean, I know he'll get stick because he's not as progressive as he was, but he came on and he did a job. He did a solid job when he came on and made sure that we saw it out. You know, he's a hell of an insurance policy to be bringing off the bench when, you know, you got 20 minutes to go, 15 minutes to go to see a game out. Absolutely. Fine with that, and then the young fella,
Ben Doak, he's just fearless, isn't he? It's great watching a kid come on who doesn't play what I call academy football, which is comes on nice and simple, keep it safe, you know, do what I've been trained. It was very much play the natural game, and it wasn't like he was doing it in do me spins up front, you know, nothing to worry about, which he did. You know, Gomez heads the ball out to him, and he's probably about halfway in our own half on the byline. Takes it. The easy thing to do is just flick it on and hope Mo runs it. Just turns inside, jinks past one, plays a nice square pass to Thiago, and he's on his bike and he's rapid.
He's
just so excited, but obviously it's hard.
You know, he reminds me an awful lot of Wayne Rooney.
Ooh.
I was
thinking Sterling just for the pace.
Nah, a young street footballer, you know, just someone who, like, wants the ball and just wants to run at people, wants to take people on, wants to score goals, wants to do something. If you remember a young Wayne Rooney when he was breaking through at Everton, you know, and
he was standing on the ball and all sorts. Do you remember, was it against West Brom? Standing the ball with his hands on his hips really arrogantly. But do you know what? That's what you want.
I think he's got that about him. The fact that there was an awful lot of hype around Rooney. Rooney wasn't a secret locally, anyway. You know, when he started, it was
all my blue mates were telling me about Rooney for about 2 years before he broke through.
Ben Doak
wasting his kid.
I think Ben Doak, as long as his hamstrings stay healthy and he carries on what he's doing, cameo 15-20 minutes here and there, you know. I think he's got that right amount of arrogance on the pitch to be a top player, you know. And I think we protect him, look after him. He's learning from Mo Salah's in his position, the best in the world.
He needs the Phil Foden treatment, doesn't he?
He's literally 100%. Needs
get a taste of it, and you might not see him for 3 or 4 weeks. Get a taste. Yeah. Because listen, I've said to you, I'm not going to deny it because I literally said it on the YouTube show, so I can't see it. I felt sorry for him when he's getting thrown on at Brighton when you're 2-0 down. Because I'm like, it's really harsh going to a kid, win me the game, when he's a kid. You know, as talented as he is, I think it's not fair pressure to support him. That's one of those ideal most moments, which is still, the game's in the balance, it's only 1-0.
Yeah.
But he knows his role, and his role is, you know, you are our break glass express route down the right wing, and it is literally just get the ball and go. And it's very much playing natural games. Also, the rest of them, not protecting him, but kind of said, just play your natural game and, you know, we'll fill in around you, because as you and me both know, Kev, everyone hates game. Everyone hates playing against pace.
when you're playing against raw pace, 20 minutes to go, and you know the one mistake, one mess up, and you're in. This kid, I think he's 17, yeah? When he's 20 years of age, he'll be a mainstay in the side. He will be an absolute mainstay in the side by the time he's 19, 20.
That's why I said the Sterling thing at one point, because I was a bit like...
Yeah, I get you.
Sterling, fast winger, broke in. And again, Sterling, people forget, was a very intelligent winger. He wasn't just an out-and-out... He wasn't a down trial, he just runs dead fast, and that's it. Mm. You know, there was intelligence about his game. You can tell he's got that sort of football intelligence about him.
Yeah, when you look at the passes that he was picking out, in the positions of the pitch where he was picking them out, you can tell he's got a football brain.
Yeah.
And the fact that he can go on either foot, he can play on either wing, he can go right or left, and he just looks like he wants to stand the full back up, take him on and beat him, and get at the centre-back and draw him out and put someone in. I think we've got a monster talent in our hands.
Potentially with his I was saying his in-game intelligence, you know, if Little Ogao go to more of a 4-3-3-1, could he be the number 10 we've been talking about in years to come? Maybe.
Possibly, but I think in the number 10 role, you don't need pace.
You need intelligence.
Why do you need pace? I think in a 10, you don't need to be a rocket. You need to have...
Tim O'Leary saying, could he come Michael Owen Mark 2? Possibly. I know where he's coming from. Especially, I mean, Michael was 17 when he broke on the scene.
17,
yeah. Was it that goal against Wimbledon? It was ridiculous. Look, I don't understand why everyone dislikes Michael Owen because of the way he moved to United, and everyone knows that. But
yeah.
I can't deny it. You know, I grew up watching Liverpool in the 90s, and that 2000-2001 season, which yes, I do talk about a lot. Owen was ridiculously good.
Yeah,
he won the Ballon d'Or. So you know, that's how good he was. People forget that.
And the thing is, you won't find many better managers at managing young talent than Jurgen Klopp.
Oh, I mean, we saw what he did with Götze. He loves young talent. He loves the right ones. He loves to really push.
A player like that revitalizes the whole squad. When you see, I suppose the best thing about the AXA Training Centre was the young players coming and mixing with the older players and learning. And you actually got to see what they were all about. Mm. And you're starting to see the fruits of the academy work, what the academy have been doing for the last couple of years. It's starting to feed and drip through now. I mean, look, we still got a problem. Don't get me wrong.
We still got
major surgery that needs to be done. But you can see what's coming.
It starts to look like, though, in probably 3-4 years' time, the club-grown, homegrown players, which is a thing for Champions League football, we've sort of already started to future-proof that a little bit.
Yeah.
Liverpool have definitely gone down the route of the young British 15, 16-year-olds to get them in early. You know,
I agree with what Matt has just said there, actually.
It was
in reply to Tommy C. You know, once Diaz, Jota, Bobby are back, Doug will not be on many benches. I agree with him. I think that by the time you get everyone back fit, Doug will go back to the under-23s and the under-19s and just get confidence, learn his game.
You know, and also, you're playing the under-20s Champions League, because I don't believe he's allowed to be registered for the Champions League. I'm sure I've read something. There's a reason, because he's Scottish and he's not been.
And the fact that he hasn't been at the academy for long enough.
We can't register. We had a similar thing with Harvey Elliott, where we had to register him in the A squad rather than the B squad.
Yeah.
Because he had to have been in our club so long to be classed as a homegrown option.
Well, I think long term it'll do him the world of good. You've had a taste of first team football. You've seen what it's like. The same with Kay Gordon last season. You know, you've had a taste. You've seen what it's like. Go back, work on your game. And next summer, go in pre-season, impress, see where it takes you. You know,
let's face it,
the sky's the limit for him.
We all thought that was Kay Gordon this year, didn't we? Just
that was the hope, for sure. That's the hope.
It's just a forge of the lad. He's just picked up a nasty injury, and bless him, he's still not back, is he?
I mean, the thing is, you still got Oakley Cannonier, who's coming back from an injury at the minute, and he looks like an absolute goal machine at the level.
Of corner taken quickly, Faye.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there is young talent coming through. It's just about nurturing them in the right way and getting, I think for a lot of them, it's going to be a case of getting the right loans if they're going to go on loan. If not, then you have to manage them around a squad who's successful. You drip players like that in and out of a successful squad, you're talking about something completely different. At the minute, it's a struggling squad in a side that is struggling to find wins, and it's a tough ask, but you know what? They'll grow up for it. You know, they'll grow up and they'll learn a lot about themselves, and it'll only stand them in good stead in time.
Cool. Oh, there we go. Good morning for the Philippines. There we go. Double N in the Philippines.
Hey. You're already ahead of us. You're already into tomorrow.
I don't even know.
We haven't finished today yet.
Fair enough. So who's your man of the match then? Because whatever you say, I'll be contrary, pick someone else just to...
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm sorry. You got to give it to Harvey. It was that goal was outstanding. You know, that will be up there with goal of the round, goal of the week, goal of the month. It was nice to see a goal from outside the box, but his overall play off the ball,
which is the thing,
me,
Klopp
was
has,
more impressive than anything.
That's the thing Klopp has highlighted as a Gakpo strength.
Yeah,
what one thing he'll give us is shots from distance.
Yeah,
I'll give him a Jetic. I was talking to him for two, so to be honest, whichever one you, I knew you were going to say one of them, so I thought, I'll say the other. Just really mature performance, you know.
Really, yeah.
You know, listen,
wouldn't argue with that.
He had a tough game against City, so it's good to, you know, he came and had his little cameo against Villa, but I think today's performance does more for him than his cameo and his nice goal against Villa. That's kind of like, this is what we expected, this is what you're expected to be or grow into, so can't really complain, really. So, yeah, right, because this is going to upset everyone. How many of them today start against Chelsea? So let's go through a team.
We're going to be doing this on Friday night.
Let's do it now.
I'm not going to be here. I might not be here on Friday night. I don't know yet.
Well, let's do it now. And then, look, let's be honest.
All right.
As of now, I don't think... let's go for the key. Keller doesn't start. Alisson does.
Alisson starts.
I think of the whole back four, only Kanata keeps his place.
No, I think Joe Gomez starts.
Over Matip?
Yep.
I've got a feeling he'll just go back with Matip.
And it's something that I'll come to. I wouldn't mind seeing it, actually.
Don't say three at the back.
No, don't be sad. I wouldn't mind seeing Matip start, Joe Gomez at right back, and Trent at right mid.
Oh, okay.
In that 4-1-4-1.
You just throw it all sorts in now, aren't
Because it? I don't think Darwin will... I'll give you an 11. I don't think Darwin starts, okay? I think Salah will start through the middle. Gakpo left mid. Naby right centre mid, Fabinho holding mid, Thiago left centre mid, Trent right centre mid, right mid, Robertson right back, left back, Joe Gomez left centre back, Ibu right centre back, and Joe Gomez right back.
Kev Ball's brought to you up here. I think that will be quite close to it. Don't think Nunes will start though. I just think, like you said, because he's only just come back to training. So I wonder if we might do Salah and Gakpo as a two, like you said. And then it's who gets the other spot then. Which I can't decide whether
it'd be interesting to see what Chelsea do, because I think Chelsea go with all the new shiny toys.
You don't want to be the Martial story.
Absolutely nothing.
Should we call him Mordo? Isn't that a character
The thing is, I have never in my life, and I watch a lot of football, right? I have never in my life seen a player move for this much money that I haven't seen play. Mm. And he's played less than 1,000 minutes in senior football. I have never seen him play a single one of them. And they've paid the bones of 100 million quid for him. Look, good luck to the kid. Obviously not at the weekend, but it's
a few questions. Kev, a few good questions. Apparently, you've said you'll have Gomez at right back and right
center. Right back. No, right back. Back. Oh yeah, I can't. So yeah, Ibu, Ibu, Matip, and Joe Gomez.
Oh right, and then you're playing Trent in the midfield. Okay, that's fine.
Right, playing Trent.
Mudrick. Yeah, he'd be busy. What are Gomez? Info. Don't get too much. This season, our centre backs have looked like they're covering two positions, so nothing new there.
Yeah. So, but no, I just think that you'll want to go into this game at the weekend. You'll want to be sound defensively. really solid at the back, and look to do the same again. Look to try and play on the break, try play on the counter, dominate the ball when you can. But when you got to sit in and suffer, you're capable of sitting in and suffering, you know. And I don't know. I don't think you can make 8 changes and then make 7 changes for the weekend and literally go at the same again against what you did against Brighton and just change Naby for Jordan Henderson and expect anything different. I don't think so. I think you have to do something different. You have to try. So, and tonight is something, to be fair, it was ugly, it was horrible, it was different, and it worked. Yeah.
So I'm thinking then, just thinking back to my where I said kept Ball's team, but I don't think Nunes start. Maybe that's the game where you play Elliot in a bit more of a further forward role. So you do Elliot, Gakpo, Salah as a front three.
And you possibly.
Bring Nunes off the bench with half an hour to go, which, to be honest,
yeah,
if we're winning a game or we need to chase a goal, the last thing you want is Nunes running at you, no matter which position you're playing, right, in the centre or the left.
Matt, it's like Todd Bowley reads Chelsea fan Twitter, waits for 100 people to retweet something that says, "That's it, I'm signing more to get my checkbook." Yeah, look, it's scattergun for sure. It's scattergun, but I think long term they're buying quality. You know,
yeah, they are buying.
This kid aside, because I haven't got a clue what this kid is.
But a lot of the other players are signing. They are good players. They're not signing.
Good players.
No marks, are they?
No, they're not. Long term, we'll see how it works out. Long term, I don't think it's going to be Potter's.
Oh, listen, if a couple of those players flop, say Mudrick flops, you know, that's £100 million player you've got on an 8-year contract. And you mean shifting players in that level of contracts is difficult.
Yeah.
And you're going to struggle to pay him.
Well, 8.5-year contract, Brian,
it's a good way of spreading £100 million.
Yeah, but look at how other clubs have done this. Atletico Madrid did this when they signed Saul. And tried Saul down to a long-term contract. They did it with João Felix, signed him down to a long-term contract. Marcus Llorente, long-term contract. It's fine when it works out, and Marcus Llorente is a proper player. But when it doesn't work, they're a millstone around your neck for a long, long time. And they're a drain on your club. But that's their problem, not ours.
No.
Unfortunately, we can't sign anything. Arthur will be back at the end of the month, apparently.
Oh, shut up, Kev.
Look, he's a good footballer.
Oh,
he's just never there.
He's just a Brazilian Naby Keita, mate. He's never fit.
Yeah, but he's like Naby. He's a good footballer.
I believe what I see him play. I've only seen him play 30. Do you know what? When we did the quiz, and so I said, how many minutes has Melo played? So I said 13 minutes. I could not even remember the game that he came on. Someone explained to me he came on when we were battered by Napoli. I was like, that was him. The only thing I've seen him do is a YouTube thing for Liverpool for LFC TV.
I haven't seen that yet.
He didn't do much of that either, to be honest. Probably injured. Anyway, on that happy note, so we're into the next round of the Cup, Kev. So
yeah, Brighton away.
Brighton away. Chelsea
It can't be worse. It can't be worse.
Yeah. Let's just say it can't, because I don't want to think
it can't be worse.
So rest of the week, I'm sure I've midweek.
No, I think Gav might be doing a history show.
I might have to let the gate crash that then. Got that gate crashing then. Friday we've got our Premier League forecast. I don't actually know.
There'll probably be somewhere on Thursday as well.
Yeah.
It's Saturday.
Between you, me and Luke, I don't actually know which one of us is doing it yet. We'll fight that out between us.
Guess it's sorted though.
Saturday is you and Matt.
Yep. Me and Matt on Saturday after the Chelsea game. Looking forward to that.
I know, because I'm going to miss half the Chelsea game, because I'll be stood at the side of the football pitch.
Yeah. The boys will be back on Sunday with the Fatback Four. We'll dissect everything that happened at Chelsea and look forward to the following week.
I think it's crossed all sanctuary players and everyone will be well made up.
Thing is, you won't know until a few hours before it happens, no matter what people online
see. We might be sold by it. Kevin, we might be sold by something. You never know.
That one might happen too.
They're all done deals now, so, you know, we'll see.
Well, I got a feeling that what you're going to see is... the thing is, you've got... I think Manchester United have turned around and said they want final submissions in by mid-February. And I think that'll be the yardstick for the price that FSG demand for Liverpool.
Well, the talk is Liverpool are expecting offers, in February, aren't they? I say expected offers. Someone's leaking that, which means somebody probably is already looking at the books. Yeah. You kind of would, wouldn't you? But we'll see. We'll see. Well, I'm sure.
We'll see. It'll all come out in the wash in the fullness of time. The good thing is that when it's actually out there, we'll have a name and then we'll know what we're looking at.
Yeah.
Or then it's all guesswork.
Or it could be another 3 years of FSG, which will really upset everyone.
That's
a
possibility too.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't have gone down that route because obviously that goes down very well.
All right, let's just let these people go to bed because some of us got to get up in the morning and go to work.
And play in the snow.
Play in the snow, yeah.
That's what you've got to do. I'm going to sit in a nice wall house, so I'll be right. On that happy note, thank you, Kev.
Cheers.
Keep your eye on the socials, and we'll let you know when there's more shows coming. Until then, thanks very much.
Sports Social Podcast Network.